Merci beaucoup, Robert, Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thanks very much for inviting me to come here today and to give me the opportunity to present the joint report Angelika Baer was already referring to, the joint report by Javier Solana and the Commission on the impact of climate change and security. Now, Mr. Chairman, you have said it. Climate change is a reality, and thanks God the scientific debate is over. But climate change is not only affecting the ecological balance of our planet, it's actually shaping the geopolitical realities of the 21st century, with tremendous impact on peace and security. And this is exactly what this report is about. It is not a report on climate change as such. It's not a report on the necessity of mitigation and adaptation or on the economic consequences, development aspects. It's very much and specifically focused on the security implications. And it was thanks to the German presidency that Javier Solana and the Commission were tasked to do this report together. Now, let me just give the main thrust of the report, and I will not go into details because I understand you have all received the report, but let me just give the main thrust and focus a little bit on some of the recommendations we have tried to develop. The core argument of the report is that that climate change is already having a profound impact on international security, and unfortunately that this will intensify in the years ahead. This means that there is an urgent need for us to take action to enable countries adversely affected by climate change to deal with the effects. Now, if you look to the European Security Strategy of 2003, which we are currently in the process of updating, it already highlights this aspect, stating that competition for natural resources will be aggravated by global warming, with, of course, very likely results for conflict and environmental migration. Now, climate change as such is, of course, not a security threat, but what climate change does, it acts as a threat multiplier. It aggravates the stresses and strains within, but also between countries. And it's a sad fact that climate change threatens to overburden those countries that are actually now already close to and prone to conflict. And the critical variable here is governance. Now, I've said the scientific argument is over. Climate change is occurring, and human activity, of course, is contributing to this. Even if we switched off the lights today, the consequences of past emissions will be felt tomorrow. And this is one of the main messages of this report. We must prepare for them now. But maybe it's also good to underline that the message of the report is not that we should give up on mitigation or on ways to adapt to unavoidable climate change that is already happening. We cannot give up on mitigation. Mitigation and adaptation is key. But this is not the whole story. What we are trying to say is that both mitigation and adaptation should go hand in hand with addressing the security challenges, the security threats of climate change. So both together should be seen as preventive security policy. And also, because I think this is a very important factor, we do not want to securitize the debate. But we're simply saying that the report reinforces the need for curbing emissions, and it acknowledges that mitigation and adaptation have to remain in the center of the EU, and that we actually need all levers of EU foreign policy to work together to reach an agreement in 2009 on the post-2012 agreement. The message of the report is a non-military one. And this is very clear. I mean, no weapon system can hold the advance of a hurricane bearing down on a city, or no weapon system can stop the rising sea. But the truth is that if we don't act now, we will be faced with very hardcore options tomorrow. And to avoid that, we have to pull together our capacities to act today. And the European Union, I think, is very well fit for that. We have a unique combination of instruments, economic instruments, development aid, humanitarian assistance, support for good governance, rule of law, support for human rights, security sector reform, but also our combination of civilian and crisis management capabilities, only to name a few. This combination is the special added value the European Union brings to crisis management, and this should also be the instruments to tackle the security effects of climate change. Let me maybe highlight one or two of the threats we are specifically focusing on in the report. One of the main aspects is, of course, conflicts over resources, especially then when access is politicized. Food, of course, water is a very good example. Water has been very often the reason for conflict. And this is, of course, aggravated by climate change, and Angelika Pehr has been referring to it, energy. There is a clear link there. Increased migration is another threat. Of course, migration as such is not a threat, but migration puts extra pressure on transit and very often on destination countries, which very often leads to political or ethnic tensions. There are also tensions likely as coastlines change, islands disappear, or access to new routes and resources open up. And we're already seeing countries asserting their claims in the Arctic, something we have to follow very closely. What are the recommendations? Here again, I do not want to go into details. And also let me say that the report is a springboard for future action. You were saying that it does not entirely satisfy your expectations. But I'm glad that the initial reactions from the European Parliament and from Member States have been very positive. I myself, together with the Commission, I have been briefing the subcommittee on security and defence on the report. Javier Solana has been with the plenary last week and has also spoken to members of the Parliament of the Foreign Affairs Committee about that. And as I said, I'm very glad we have had positive reactions. But the report is the beginning. We have to build on the report, and we have to implement the recommendations that are in the report. The European Council gave us a deadline until the end of this year, so we will provide another report by the end of this year with which will be a report on how we have implemented the specific recommendations. One of the recommendations is to set up or to build up EU capacities across the board, and here a lot of focus is on monitoring, early warning, conflict prevention in general, disaster response also very important. And as I said before, we need comprehensive solutions there. The other issue is to work with our major international partners. Like climate, energy security has for a very long time not been a part of foreign policy. It was basically 2 years ago when we had the energy crisis between Ukraine and Russia when we suddenly woke up and realized that this is a foreign policy issue and that foreign policy, foreign ministers had to deal with the issue. And this is our ambition here. Climate change and its impact here specifically on security must become part of the political agenda of foreign ministers, must be part of every EU-Russia summit, of every EU-US summit. And we have begun to put the issue on the political agenda with the US, with Russia, Norway, China, Central Asia, India, just to name a few of them, because the issue here again is to raise awareness and to work together with our international partners. And let me also add this. My first experience here has been very positive. energy and energy security is very often a divisive issue. Climate change actually can bring people together because everybody realizes that we need to pool our efforts to work together to tackle the issues at stake. And there is a huge interest, for example, from the US and from the Russians to work together here. We're doing region-by-region analysis, sharing papers and analysis of those areas of the world where the climate change issue is likely to have the greatest impact, Sub-Saharan Africa, Middle East, Central Asia. We're linking it with climate change negotiations. Up to now, climate change has predominantly been discussed from a scientific perspective, so there is an added value here. Public diplomacy will be important, raise awareness about the security effects, not only with governments, but also with the public. Another issue is we need to further integrate adaptation and resilience to climate change into our regional strategies. For example, Africa and the Middle East. The EU-Africa partnership is very much about land degradation, about increasing aridity, all of it, of course, aggravated by the negative impact of climate change. Central Asia, here we're very much working on the water issue. We have to establish a water system that actually links up Central Asian countries, regional cooperation, something that is not existent there. So there is a lot of work to do here. We have done a conflict prevention workshop of the Madiaga Foundation and Volker Bernadotte Academy 1 month ago, which brought together government and NGO representatives, as well as international and regional organizations. And this has been a very good experience. And as I said, I'm coming to an end. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity here, because to get your input will help us very much in implementing the recommendations of the report. Thank you very much.
Merci, madame. Merci, madame. Votre conclusion est aussi une promesse pour participer l'année prochaine à la suite de ces colloques, de ces réflexions. Absolument. Donc votre prochain rapport sera un pas en avant et permettra un pas en avant, évidemment, de notre réflexion commune. Merci beaucoup, madame. La parole